Welcome to the New York Now podcast, a modern wholesale market for retailers and specialty buyers seeking diversity and discovery. Gathering twice a year in America's design capital, New York City, it's where buyers and designers unearth a refreshed and dedicated collection of eclectic lifestyle products.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Our Greenhouse, located in Newton, Connecticut, offering baby gift baskets and luxury gifts. While starting a family, owners Pam and Mike Davis sought out safe and healthy alternatives to use in their own home. Together, they discovered new products and learned about the benefits of natural living. Balancing work and family has always been a main focus, not only for them, as also the team is encouraged as well. Along with the growing awareness of what it meant to be a socially conscious company, inspired them to reach out to global communities, sourcing fair trade products that would support both the artisan and the well-being of consumer families. Committed to sourcing eco-friendly and sustainable gifts, each gift has a deeper meaning and purpose, positively impacting families and communities around the world. Our Greenhouse is a dedicated conscious company with noted social impact and various global causes that they support. And along with the Just Cause gifts, Our Greenhouse has took their commitment to a new level by giving directly back to charities, a gift that truly gives. To shop, support, and learn more, visit ourgreenhouse.com and follow on Instagram at ourgreenhouse. Hi, I'm Dondrell Glover, podcast host and senior producer for New York Now. And today, we're delighted to welcome Isabella Elsharhin, designer and founder of BB Moss, a sustainable social enterprising children's brand from Istanbul, Turkey, debuting in the U.S. and at New York Now Summer Market. Isabella started her design journey back in Paris, working for luxury couture brands. She became a social entrepreneur after moving to Turkey. She likes to refer to herself as the accidental social entrepreneur with the creation of Sector 7, which she founded over 9 years ago, collaborating with international brands to do developing and manufacturing, as well as her own brand of BB Moss, a collection of huggable toys using sustainable and eco-conscious practices in her local artisan workshop. BB Moss employs over 120 women, welcoming refugees from Syria, Iran, and Afghanistan, new to Istanbul, and impoverished women from the local Istanbul area, providing dignified, fair trade work and the freedom for working mothers to manage their schedule and balance time with their families. As an FTO guaranteed member, BB Moss is committed to the 10 principles of the organization. As a verified social enterprise by Social Enterprise World Forum, they are also committed to causes at large. While advocating for women's rights, equality, and the integration of refugees into host communities, she volunteers in numerous organizations. As part of Made 51, implemented by the UNHCR, she works to generate income for refugee artisans, unlocking talent and growing ethical businesses, and offering unique products on the global market. Join me in welcoming Isabella to our New York Now podcast. Hi, Isabella.
Hi, Dondrell. Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh my God, it is so good to have you here. I really appreciate you joining us. I know we've been talking about having this conversation for a while and finally having a chance to talk about all things BB Moss and you and your journey. So I'm super excited to dive into today's conversation. I'd love to kick things off with your road to founder of BB Moss. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's actually a very long story, but I'm going to try to give you a shortened version of it. I started my professional life in Paris, back in Paris, in the luxury industry, working alongside the French designers for many, many years. And then I quitted everything and I moved to Turkey. And it's been almost 15 years. I'm living in Istanbul, Turkey here. Fast forward a few years after arriving to Turkey, I became a mom. I had my first baby. And then very quickly after that, we decided to have a second one. And that pregnancy was a bit problematic. I was bedridden for months and months at a time. I had a lot of complications in my pregnancy. So it was a very, very hard time for me. And this is where actually the brand and everything started, because in order to keep my sanity, you know, because I was lying in bed, going back and forth to the hospital, you know, they were saying I might die, my baby might die. So it was a very, very psychologically challenging period for me. I went back to my love, to my crafts, to what I love doing the most, meaning designing, playing with materials, with yarns, and so on. So over that 7-month period, I did a lot of knitting and crochet, just to keep me occupied, to get my hands going and my mind in check, you know, as a form of therapy. I was making stuff for my baby to come. So I did a lot of bears, a lot of animals, covers and hats and a lot of different things. So thankfully that pregnancy ended up being a very beautiful pregnancy.
Yes.
My son arrived right on time, very healthy, everything went well. And, you know, we took the baby from the hospital and we went back home, and it was actually my husband's idea, because, you know, yeah, arriving home, I had 25 bears, hats and like so many different baby products I've made and I designed. My husband said, you know, why don't you sell those online? And I was like, yeah, amazing. This is a great idea. I don't want to go back to corporate life. Now I have two kids and a newborn. Why don't I do that? So, you know, in a very naive way, I opened a web store and I started putting those products out there, and they saw traction and they saw interest. People started buying. And most importantly, actually wholesale buyers reached out to me saying, we would love to see those in our stores. So it was very hard for me at the time, you know, being a new mom, to make all those products, to fulfill those orders. So again, in a very, very naive way, I put an ad in what would be the local equivalent of the Craigslist, saying like, you know, oh, if you're a mom, if you know how to handcraft, if you would like to turn your passion, your craft into some, you know, additional work, come and join me. So I put that ad expecting, you know, like maybe 2 or 3 women to contact me to say, oh, we would love to make those with you. Believe it or not, after the first week, I had to take this ad down, because I had thousands of phone calls, women calling me from all parts of Turkey, saying, you know, I'm a mom, I cannot work, I have to take care of my kids, I would love to make some extra income, and so on. And this was like a huge revealing moment for me, you know.
Yeah.
I shut that ad down, and I went back to my thinking mode and to my drawing board, saying, okay, there's something here I wasn't really aware of. There is a social issue, which by mistake I kind of pinpoint, meaning that young moms and mothers in general in Turkey are excluded from the job market. So this made me think, you know, and I said, okay, so if I'm going to do this in a professional way and build a company, I'm going to make a company which will allow those women to find sustainable, but at the same time, flexible enough work opportunities so that they can be moms and make that income they're so much in need of. So one of the ladies who contacted me through that ad was Zeynep. She's my partner now, and the closest friend I have here. She's also a mom of two. She contacted me saying, you know what? I have a small team of women already. We are a little bit organized, and I am a yarn store owner. So I said, okay, that's the one woman I have to meet.
Yeah, exactly.
And I just jumped into my car. I put my baby in, you know, in the car seat. I went all the way to meet her, and it was an instant connection. You know, despite the differences, despite the cultural gap, I am this French expat, privileged woman living in Turkey, and Zeynep is a covered woman. She is living in the suburbs. She is an amazing entrepreneur, because she was running this yarn store at the time, but still, it was an instant connection, and we decided to do that together. you know, so we started out of her yarn store in the outskirts of Istanbul. Yes. And we started making those first orders and fulfilling. And we grew. And today we are a social enterprise. We have a nice three-story workshop space. And we employ over 120 women. And we are making those cute organic toys, you know, you can see on our website.
There is so much, in your story that is exciting, inspiring, reflective, and also really courageous. And there's all this optimism there because, you know, you said naively, but you believed. And I love the fact that her husband saw this and said, you know, honey, you know, you should do something with this. You mentioned early on going through a difficult pregnancy and what that challenge is, which leading you to your business. I'd like to note to our listeners that story of Isabella's has been just revealingly captured in a short form video / documentary. That's what it feels like to me. And I really am going to encourage our listeners to go to our website and watch that. You know, of course, we'll talk more about bbbmoss.com so that you'll have a link and where to go. But that is definitely worth seeing her journey through that lens. It was a really, really powerful piece. And so I'm happy that you were able to share that story. I'm sure there are so many women that can relate to coming to that journey. And for that to sort of be your story and the fact that you own a children's brand, it just makes you all the more connected for so many mothers who understand that journey. And of course, you know, moving from France to Istanbul, Istanbul is a beautiful city. I have to tell people I've spent a lot of time there and it is a beautiful place to live. And so but what I didn't know about this article that you put out, like a Craigslist kind of thing, and the response, amazing.
I was shocked myself, yeah. You know.
It confirms that workforce of moms and women who are at home, whether it is obviously to take care of the children, other social constructs that sort of put women in more isolated spaces, but it also shows their desire to work and their talent. So I'm really happy that came your way and that you guys were able to partner this unlikely friendship and connection. And it also confirms that we should be knowing as many people as possible. We never know where that connection is going to come. I'd like to loop back to a little bit of your time in France, working in a fashion design, but from a perspective of how was that transition from designing fashion to designing children's toys? That had to be, you know, kind of aligning that.
I have to admit that it wasn't really a transition. It was more of a breakup.
breakup. Okay, we'll take that. I like your transparency.
Well, you know, I loved my job in Paris and I still dearly love a lot of people I was in contact and I was working with, and we're still amazingly good friends and so on. But it was this, you know, I started very young in a big fashion house. It was all about this couture, the dream, the shiniest, the exclusivity, you know. It consumed me. I gave it all I had, all my creativity, all my time, all my youth at the time, and all my life, actually, because it was more than a job. It was a way of living. And you know, you live and breathe that fashion shows and the all the couture, all the stress and everything in there. So after spending so many years working in that very challenging and very demanding environment, I needed a break. And this is why actually I moved to Turkey. At the beginning, it wasn't supposed to be a definitive move. It was supposed to be just a sabbatical, just to get back to find myself, to find who I am, you know, what are my values, what are my needs, what do I like, what do I love, you know, it was a way to find myself, but I moved to Istanbul and I never went back.
Love that. I love it. So you found yourself. What a story. I mean, that is, and how fortunate and you are to have had the opportunity to have that sabbatical and then to find yourself and to end up where you are. It leads me into my next question is, I'd love to talk a bit more about your desire to build a socially impactful enterprise. How did that come into play? Had you decided early on the kind of value principles that would define your company based on, I know that we've talked in previous times, and you said that there were aspects of children's toys on the market, but there were quality, there were things that were missing that you felt that you could make a difference in.
Yes, exactly. So I like to call myself an accidental social entrepreneur because, you know, actually, it did happen to me. But from the get-go, I was very centered on using sustainable materials, using organic cotton, being as eco-friendly as possible and have the lesser impact possible on our changing climate and you know, all the challenges we use. I think it's also part of becoming a mom because you want to leave this earth. We actually borrowed this from our children, you know? So I felt even more compelled when I became a mom to do a work which was meaningful in that sense, you know, making sure that we take care of the planet and making sure that we take care of the people. Those are the two biggest values which are represented in our company. Eco-friendly material, slow manufacturing, no waste. So that's one. And that was there from the very start, because as a mom, when I was making those toys for my son, I wanted a beautiful, clean, safe product, which will not leave a negative impact on the planet. And then slowly, when we decided to become the social enterprise and to empower women working, hand-making the products, all those other values kind of added up on top of another to build what we are today, a social enterprise, a fair trade company, which puts people and planet first.
Very, very much. And you've got, you're like tapped into at least 10 value principles that we'll talk about later with the WFTO, which is amazing. I know that, you know, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, that your workforce, you know, you're connected through family and other commonalities as motherhood and passion for handmade, financial stability, along with the desire from you, once you recognize the problem, that there's more just and opportunities for women in vulnerable circumstances. Tell us a little bit more about your team of mothers and makers, and what's a day like in a workshop in Istanbul with your team?
Well, you know, it's an incredible bunch of women. We have over 120 women working with us right now. And you can find everything in there. So from younger women to older women, different religious, different backgrounds. We work with refugee women coming from Syria as well. So it's a very melting pot type of an environment, but we are 100% women company. So, you know, when we close the doors of our workshop, it's a magical place basically, because everything is put to the side. The only thing which matters is the fact that we are moms, that we are all working for our children and for their better future, you know, and funny wise, those women, even at the very, very beginning, they already had the values that we had to protect the environment, that we had to protect the earth. So we came together with those amazing values, which we all share. On top of that, and I am always extremely humbled when I say that, those women taught me what resilience was, what being a strong woman is, you know, what is to put their children first and their family first, you know, and the fact that even at their small space, in their small communities, they do care about the planet. And it's extremely humbling. And I am so lucky that I found an amazing group of women like that. And also because all those experiences are giving me so much purpose in my life, which makes me a better person, actually.
Oh, I love that. It just, isn't it great to become a part of something and then get from it more than you ever imagined you would? And I think that this is, once again, it's confirming in the social entrepreneuring spaces that you can expect to be changed and informed and evolved. And I think it's just fantastic. So I thank you for the work that you're doing. It's very, very meaningful. And the fact that you were able to sort of lean in and get this learning and meet these incredible women and has this great connection, I think it's wonderful. On the strength of that, you've been officially certified by the WFTO, yay, and in partner, and also I'd like to mention in partnership with Made 51, you made a debut at Liberties of London earlier this year. How exciting is that? I remember you were waiting for your certification and finally it's here. I'd love to ask, how has this further inspired the path of BB Moss and where you're going with these additional credentials, this opportunity to partner with Made 51, who works largely with refugee women, and you also have some of that workforce part of the BB Moss demographic? You know, what's the plan? How has it fueled you forward?
Well, this WFTO certification, for me, it feels like a badge of honor, you know? We've been fair trade by design. So when we built the company, we included those fair trade principles into how the company works, how we deal with people, our manufacturing, and so on. But being audited and getting the certification, it is something else, because now I can say to people, we're just not saying we are fair trade. Here, we have been audited very strictly with all those different, values and all the boxes are checked and so on. So it is very important. As of Made 51, it is a totally a love story. You know, we've been working with refugee mothers almost from the get-go because of the Syrian crisis and because those Syrian mothers are here, are present in our lives. But Made 51 is a brand bringing together enterprises like mine from all over the world under one umbrella collection, this Made 51 collection, so that we can also show to the world that the refugee artisans have so much to offer. You know, they have talent, they have resilience, they have skills, and they are actually an asset in their host communities, and they're an asset by themselves into the global world, you know, economy.
Yeah, absolutely. This is it. Just there's so much for us to learn in that space, and to have this built-in workforce that have had the privilege of having these handmade traditions that they've been able to continue and carry forward, and to know that we have that where we can really galvanize, as you have, an economy in force that will help them support their families in their new host countries, but also, you know, help us further the agenda of making sure that, you know, traditions and craft are maintained and that they're not lost, because they are at risk in many places where, you know, countries have broken down in structure. So this is, it's a vital workforce. And so I'm so happy that you also agree and that you're utilizing that, that it's beneficial for both of you. I know that you are also going to be attending the Fair Trade Conference. You've been invited to the conference in Berlin for late August. What are you looking forward to most as a newly certified member to taking away from that conference?
Well, first of all, we are going to be meeting with enterprises, fair trade enterprises coming from 80 countries from all over the world. So, you know, meeting with people, we have the same challenges, we have the same goals, we have the same values. So meeting with a bunch of entrepreneurs, so diverse, it's always a very enriching experience, exchanging, you know, how we deal with stuff, what we do to be more resilient, to be more successful, and so on. So this is the first goal of that summit, meet more companies who are fair trade and who are sharing the same values as we do. The second one is also meet buyers. You know, this is a conference where fair trade buyers or people or chains, you know, or retailers who are focusing on those values are going to come and meet with us. So it's going to be a first for me. You know, we are going to be presenting who we are, what we do, how we do it. And I'm hoping it's going to be a very valuable experience. On top of that, the World Fair Trade Organization works a little bit like a giant cooperative, meaning that us, the members of that giant cooperative from 80 countries are going to be voting and are going to be coming up with ways to communicate to the world the values of fair trade. You know, we're going to be taking a lot of different decisions as of, you know, how to do PR, how to do communication, what to do, what can we do together to put out there to the world a little bit more of those values and how important they are, especially now, you know, with this climate crisis, with, you know, the refugee population being 100 million displaced people. You know, it's huge. We have to come together. Yeah. And, you know, we all are making an impact, a tiny impact, one by one. But I believe that if we come together, we can make a huge impact altogether.
Absolutely. I've always said there is always work to be done. And if when you galvanize and take on bits and pieces of that, as you mentioned, coming together, the entire pot, you look up and you've made an impact. And so that is really, it's powerful and very meaningful work. And I'm so happy that you'll be in Berlin. I hope to make the next conference there, because I'm super excited to get the feedback from it and just all those countries there, brands and buyers, an exciting place to be. I have to tell you, Isabella, you are having quite the year. The next thing I'd love to talk about, which we've been, you know, for our audience, I want to talk about, this is your first time debuting BB Moss in the United States and at New York Now in New York City. And through your partnership with the nonprofit group Next, who are noted for their incredible work with handmade artisans around the world. I'd love to start in talking about New York Now, is what has your experience been like so far in going through the process with our New York Now team?
Well, I must admit that I was a bit nervous when I took the decision to, I mean, the US is my market. So I know the people and I know my buyers, and we already have a lot of wholesale account there. But coming to a big show like that was a bit intimidating, I have to admit. But it has been a wonderful experience so far, because everything is so well organized. The team is responding to all our demands, to our questions. So, you know, now we are like, what, less than a month from the show. I feel very ready, very prepared, and super excited about meeting our existing buyers and also meeting new buyers at that amazing event in New York. It's going to be also my first time in New York. So, yoo-hoo, I'm going to be doing some sightseeing.
This person, and boy, and we have so much at the show that's coming. We are really, really excited to be back for Summer Market. Hold on, because we've got an agenda. We've got lots of activations at market. And most importantly, we have these incredible brands and you being one. So I'm super excited that you're going to be joining us for Summer Market. Let's dive into the collection. Let's talk to our listeners and buyers and retailers. Tell us about the featured collections and what buyers will be seeing in the booth.
So we did a tremendous work this past 8 months or so. So there's going to be a lot of new things in New York Now. We are premiering a lot of new toys. It's the first time I decided to split the whole range of toys into collections. And I wanted to look at the perspective of a mom decorating her child's room or her bedroom or her nursery. So we went and put the toys into different themes, like safari, woodland, oceans, dream to match kind of those very popular nursery decor themes. And what is more important is that we have a lot of different toys in sizes and a few, I would call them the staple pieces. Those are those bigger toys, which are going to be central to, you know, a design, but also a minimalist oriented mom to use as a decor piece. But at the same time, they're amazing, huggable toys kids can play and cuddle with, you know. So there is this double challenge of, on one side, a nice, minimalist, simple design. And on the other side, you know, still be this being a toy, something which will be manipulated, touched, hugged, jumped on by kids and toddlers, you know.
It is I can't say it enough. It is a beautiful collection. And I love the categories. And you're exactly right in sort of thinking about how a mom would think about designing a nursery or a child's room. You've got these collections where that takes children through an experience, you know, and also I think it's wonderful to collect the sets because each animal represents, that particular the particular
ecosystem,
the ecosystems, right? Because we do the safari, there's woodland. So each collection represents something in our ecosystems. It's really beautiful. I love the fact that you've played with colors. I can tell you're a fashion designer, the way you play with color, and also you've been able to create texture, you know, with all the little intricate details of the design. So it is a must-see for buyers and retailers. I could imagine for buyers and retailers, your customers, and looking at these lovable, huggable, beautiful toys, they're just a must-have. So I'm super excited to see them in the booth because I've been seeing them online and posting about them. So it's going to be great. I'd love to, because I know that this is really important for buyers and retailers because it's important for moms in buying touchable toys for their children. I'd love to talk with our conscious buyers, especially for buyers, again, who are concerned about fabrics for babies and children. I'd love to remind the audience of your textile supply chain and this process, because I know that you were very concerned about those things too, and you made sure within your company that these things were safe and of the best quality.
Yes, this is a very important part. This is actually a central point. As I said before, we're using premium organic cotton yarn, which is sourced here in Turkey locally. And me being me, I know the manufacturer of that yarn. I know it's a small business. It's a family business. We've been working with them for years and years. So, you know, I go back and forth to their factory. I know they have, for example, a water treatment system. So they're not polluting. They have, of course, all the certification necessary. But, you know, knowing that it's also a small business, it's also a family business, it is very important and it's part of our values. So those are the key points. Of course, all the toys are being tested in an independent laboratory to make sure that they comply to all the safety regulations for the US and for Europe. This is very important. And I like to say that we are doing what you could call a slow manufacturing, actually, because we produce what we need and without any waste. So even the little bits and pieces of scrap yarn we have left over after making the toys, we utilize those to make other products. So we make colorful balls and rattles and we use them to do the embroidery for the faces of the animals. So it's a very, you know, conscious and slow manufacturing process, you know, knowing everybody involved. And it's very important for us to have that knowledge, to know that the yarn we are using has been sustainably sourced, that it's organic, it's certified, and on top of that, it's been made by a family small business with the same values as we are.
Absolutely. And also the first testers of the collections are often the children of the women at the workshop and your kids. So that is, you know, it's good to confirm, because I think it's a really important mention. And also I admire the partnership that you've developed with this other small business and how they're keeping the tradition of organic materials going. I'd love to talk about, because I know that relationships for BB Moss is really, really important. You know, we are talking about mothers, we're talking about children, and those connections run deep and tend to be very nurturing. And I'd love for buyers to know what they can expect in building a relationship with you and BB Moss from brand to brand.
Well, you know, as a small business and as a small business owner, I wear many hats. So what I can guarantee our buyers is a personal connection to me. You know, we treat them with a lot of respect and very on one-to-one basis. The other thing is that I love to share the impact. You know, each toy sold means extra work for the women. So I love to share tiny little personalized impact reports with our buyers so they know their contribution to our mission and to what we are doing. And we also love to share a lot of behind the scenes. So photos and videos in the making, you know, so this is part of our culture. And I don't think I will ever change that, even if we grow even more, because it is very important for them to see what's happening here, but it's also very important for their customers, and they can tell them, this toy comes from a social enterprise. Here is the person who made it. Here's how it was made. Those are the pictures. Those are the videos. Have a look by yourself. And I think it's something very valuable. And we love to share that with our buyers and with our customers.
Absolutely. I'd love to. I mean, I could, of course, talk to you all day. This is just, you know, it's just been so revealing. I would love for you to share where buyers can find you at the show. And that's your booth number. Where can we find you? Where should we come?
So we are at the booth 2464 in the baby and child area. And I'm sure you cannot miss the booth. We're going to have a giant lion looking at you. So when you see a giant lion, you know that it's BB Moss, and come over.
He's roaring in the best way. I can't wait for the buyers and retailers to see that lion. It is absolutely gorgeous. So I assure you that they're going to be over. I can't wait to come in again for myself to see it. Isabella, it has been, you know, as we wind down, I can't tell you enough. It's been a tremendous pleasure speaking with you today. I thank you for sharing the story of BB Moss and sharing your story with us again today. And I couldn't, again, be more excited for buyers and other attendees to meet you at New York Now Summer Market. BB Moss is a must-see. I'm plugging it again at Summer Market. The collection is fantastic. I can't say it enough. Isabella, tell me, how can customers and listeners stay in touch with you? Where should they follow and where should they be logging on to?
Well, first of all, thank you for having us. We are even more excited to be at New York Now. And for those who would like to get in touch, you know, bbmoss.com or any of the social media at bbmoss.com, people can find. And if they message, it's going to come to me and I will answer them personally. I'm really happy to do that and connect.
So for our audience, thank you for joining us today. We hope that you'll be joining us at Summer Market. That is August the 14th through the 17th at New York's Javits Center. And I guess we're signing off. Isabel and I hope to meet you. And
thank you. See you in Javits Center at the Summer Market, New York Now.
Sounds good.
To learn more about BB Moss, visit bbmoss.com and follow on Instagram at BB Moss.
Thank you for listening to the New York Now podcast. Make sure to tune in weekly for engaging and insightful conversations touching on the most relevant topics facing our community today. Visit newyorknow.com to learn more about our market and how you can join in on the conversation.